If you're going to keep four quarterbacks, what position group has to go? Or at least what position group has to make do with a little bit less, I should say. Nathan Zagura is here to answer that question. Then I'm letting him go right up. No, I'm not kidding. Nathan, congratulations on the child. I think this is the first time we've talked about it on the air. Congratulations on your new child.
Thank you, brother. Little Luca, 18 days old, man. 18 days old. We are in the mix. Fully in it.
I love the family. I love the family middle name as well. It's beautiful.
Yeah, of course there's got to be Luca Dragomir. You know it. Yes. You know it, Monfer.
I love that name. I remember Andy was like, why do you call him that? I go, it's his middle name. I go, people don't know that. I don't care. It's my nickname for him, and it's his middle name. It's his government name. I don't give a damn what you think. Anyway, Nathan, four quarterbacks, yeah. One. Do you think? I think there's a very high possibility they could be keeping four quarterbacks. Do you think they keep four quarterbacks?
Is it possible? Yes. Would I be surprised? Also, yes. It's just a lot of people to carry at that position. Not to say that it isn't the most important position in the NFL. It most certainly is. But I just think that is it, with what you need on game day. Now, the fact that you can elevate a couple people throughout the week gives you a little bit more flexibility if you didn't think that, you know, for example, your third tight end would be somebody who would be poached off your practice squad. If you didn't think maybe your sixth wide receiver was somebody who wouldn't be poached off your practice squad. If you thought maybe your ninth offensive lineman was somebody you could get away with being there, you have the ability to elevate those people a few times a year. So that is a way that they could go about doing it and still getting what they want out of their, you know, the game day active roster. But it would put a lot of stress on it, because I think when you look at this team and you look at it historically speaking, you're going to have 23 or 24 on offense. It is not going to be 25-25 split. There you're going to skew towards the defensive side. And I think at Browns, let's say it's 24 and 26. If you were to have four quarterbacks, if you were then to have, my guess is, you know, you are going to have three or four running backs. I think you're going to have three locks for sure, Judkins, Ford, and Sampson. But, you know, they brought in a fullback again, Ken. And Troy Hairston, I think, is what they're getting back to, has a good chance to make this team. So let's say that there's four running backs. So four quarterbacks, four running backs. My guess is you'd keep three tight ends, but maybe you think that you could get away with, you know, Blake Whitehart or Brendan Bates or Trey McKitty. And hopefully Brendan Bates is okay after he tried a Happy Gilmore, a golf ball at the tight end university. Maybe you could get away with two on the 53, you know, initially. But I think it's got to come from, it has to come from either wide receiver, tight end, or the offensive line. And wide receiver, I think, is a position you really could end up having only five guys on. I really think that you could go into it with five this year. And if you did that, if you had four quarterbacks, four running backs, five receivers, three tight ends, then you'd have eight offensive linemen on the roster. Typically, I think you're going to have nine. But those are the kind of calculations you're going to have to make. That's where you're going to have to make those decisions. But it's got to come from, I think, wide receiver for sure. You'd only have five in that scenario. We're going to play more 12 personnel anyway, and I think we're going to play more with two running backs on the field as well. So we were not going to be exclusively 11 personnel or predominantly 11 personnel like we were a year ago.
Nathan Zagura joins us here on the show. It's like, because I, you know, some people were saying, I was asked this question yesterday, by a person we would both know who knows football. And I said, yeah. Boy, that's a hell of a question there, because it's like, well, I think they could keep four quarterbacks. It's like, all right, do you go to the wide receiver room? Because it's like, well, if all these guys don't make the wide receiver room, because you're thinking about the top end of the wide receiver room, and then it's like, well, after the cuts, you're still probably going to want to keep the same number, and you might want to keep those weapons for any one of these four quarterbacks that you could have. Because, I mean, tight ends, they come at a premium. Wide receivers, they come at a premium. You just mentioned fullback now, so it's like, man, there's a lot of moving around you have to do if you want to keep those four guys. This should be very, very interesting, Nathan.
Because the reality is, looking at the roster as it is right now, it's hard for me to see a situation in which we wouldn't keep nine offensive linemen. You've got DeJuan Jones, Joel Bitonio, Ethan Posick, Wyatt Teller, Jack Conklin. Then you've got Cornelius Lucas, who you signed, who's your swing tackle. Tevin Jenkins, they like a lot. Zach Zinner was a third-round pick a year ago, and then Luke Whipler's back. So it's hard to kind of see from a math standpoint how you wouldn't end up with nine. Now, they're cross-training Zinter, you know, at center, and maybe that would allow them to, you know, try to get Whipler to the practice squad. But it feels like that's a room that could be nine. I think you could get away with two tight ends, like if you only kept Njoku and Fannin, and then you had one of the other guys back on the practice squad. Mm-hmm. But you talk to receiver room, Judy Tillman, I think there are like three and this is, I could be wrong about this, but right now I think there are three locks in that room. And I think those three locks would be Judy Tillman and Jamari Thrash. And then I think DeAndre Carter obviously was brought here to finally, and hopefully we can get a returner through the preseason, because we keep bringing in these guys who are great returners and they never, unfortunately, have been able to get this season. But DeAndre Carter, I think, has a very good opportunity to make it. And then if Deontay Johnson is Deontay Johnson, I think that he would make it. But that's five right there, which means David Bell is fighting for a roster spot. It means Mike Woods is fighting for a roster spot. And some of these young guys that they have in that rounding out that room right now would all be fighting for roster spots. But it's really hard at four quarterbacks. It's going to be hard to get the kind of roster that you want. I mean, this is a team that's been carrying two quarterbacks, you know, predominantly. And now to go up to four would be it's a big leap, and it would make it very difficult because, like I said at the beginning, you're going to want 26 on defense. Jim Schwartz is going to want 10 on the defensive line. You're going to want probably at least 10 in the defensive backfield, and then probably six linebackers, because those guys are your special teams guys. And that's a room that, even without JOK, has a lot of people that I think they want to keep in the program.
The national media has been twisting themselves into pretzels trying to come up with which quarterback is going to be traded. And it kind of seems like it comes down to Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett. From your perspective, Nathan, which one brings the most in return?
Probably at this point, Kenny Pickett, just because he is a former first rounder and he is young and he started 50, you know, he's 15-10 as a starter. So that would be one. It would be interesting if, for example, you know, maybe down in New Orleans where Kellen Moore was just with him in Philly, if he said, you know, I'd like to, it's not working out with Tyler Shuck. Maybe we need to bring him down here to be kind of the starter and see what he has. He would, but I also think you got to take a step back and think about this from the Browns standpoint is, number one, kind of obviously you're trying to win games this year. I think that goes without saying. Kenny Pickett has been a winning quarterback in this division and in the National Football League. He's a guy that, as we were, Ken and I talked about a few weeks ago, not supposed to like because he was the Steelers guy. We pointed out all of his flaws. And certainly there's a reason that he's now on to his third team. But, you know, we've seen guys bounce around and have kind of a career resurgence. What people have to remember on the Kenny Pickett side of things is there are two possibilities. If Kenny Pickett comes to the Cleveland Browns and plays well, let's just say that scenario, if he plays well, there are two possible outcomes. One is that he plays well enough that you try to see if you can find a way to afford him, which might honestly be unlikely. The other part is if he plays really well and then goes and signs somewhere, let's call it in the, you know, $20 to $30 million a year range, which is, you know, kind of that, you know, bridge quarterback, but maybe he's more than that, which we saw, you know, a Daniel Jones type get, or, you know, even if he has a really good year and then maybe he's getting, you know, not quite Sam Darnold money, but in that 20, 30 million, that's potentially worth a third round pick for the Cleveland Browns in the compensatory formula. So there's just more, I think, current incentive and future incentive to see what you have with Kenny Pickett rather than with Joe Flacco. So if somebody was to be moved, it would, in my mind, it would probably be Flacco.
I just can't imagine you'd be getting much for either of them. So I'm like, well, we need a quarterback so damn badly. So let's just see what they have with our football team.
Well, I agree with that. And I think that goes back to the point of why would you rather see Pickett than necessarily Flacco. And I think, you know, Joe Flacco, as we talked about, had that magical run with us, you know, a couple of years ago, going 4-1 as a starter, 300 yards in every game. But if you kind of look at his body of work since he's left Baltimore, even going back to 2017, it's been, in terms of a win-loss ratio, it hasn't been favorable. And so if there isn't going to be a compensatory pick ever attached to Joe Flacco or a potential, you know, long-term future attached to Joe Flacco. So that's why I think Kenny Pickett will get every opportunity to be the guy in that role early in the season. That's not to say that he will do it. He's going to have to earn it. And if not, I think that's why Joe Flacco is here. I think ultimately Joe Flacco is here because the Browns thought they were going to go into the season with Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, and Dylan Gabriel. And then the way the draft unfolded, all of a sudden now here's Shedeur Sanders, who's had a very nice camp and is really, he's a very darn good thrower of the football, that changes how we're looking at this quarterback room.
Obo Okoronkwo let go yesterday. They got to like somebody for that move to be made to fill his shoes. Who is it?
Yeah. I think they really like Isaiah McGuire and what they saw out of him last year. I think they really like Alex Wright as well. So you've got Miles as the number one. And then I can tell you they have a very good start to the offseason. Again, no pads are on. We don't know anything about, you know, that. But Joe Tryon-Shoyinka has been very impressive. former first round pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's been very impressive. And so he's a guy that they really think can be a big time edge rusher. That's why he was drafted with that kind of pedigree. They also like Julian Okwara, who they signed. And then we can't forget that last year, Cam Thomas played really well for the Cleveland Browns when he got opportunities on there. So I think it's a combination of Trajan Soyinka came in. He looked good. They're waiting to get after June 1st for Obo. This gives them an opportunity to sign with another team as well. And, you know, you can always go back to what do a lot of times these things are, is that it feels like the Browns think that in the guys they signed and the rookies, that they have a very, they like that defensive end room. I can tell you that very much. And Obo was a great dude when he was here. I really enjoyed interviewing him whenever we got the opportunity to do that. And I thought that he played well, especially his first year here. He had 12 tackles for loss, which was a career high. But you look at the salary ramifications when he signed that 3-year, $19 million deal, their Browns are going to save because of when they did this over the next two seasons. And the way that they kind of have done their contracts is they throw on these void years that allows kind of the salaries to be spaced out. But because they're doing that and because they did do that with him, it's going to save them over the next couple of years about $8 million. So I think that's why the move was made, more so than necessarily his performance, but and that they felt like they had guys coming in that would be able to replace that performance.
They added kicker Andre Schmidt yesterday. Competition for Dustin Hopkins or just an extra camp leg?
I think that's one that we'll wait and see, right? It certainly raises an eyebrow when you see a move like that be made because, you know, Dustin Hopkins, to your point, signed that deal for the Browns. There would be $5 million in dead money if he were to be not on this football team over the next couple of years. So I don't think that that is necessarily in the cards. I think that they want Dustin Hopkins to be that guy. And I think we all do want to see him regain that form that he had a couple of years ago when he was, you know, brilliant. This was a career anomaly year for him, making 67% of his kicks. He's an 84% kicker for his career, been around 90 for the 3 years prior. So hopefully that's where he gets back to, but it definitely raises an eyebrow. He was here. He was released. They bring him in. My guess is it's more camp leg, but it's certainly something that, you know, is going to bear watching. If it's any kind of close in this competition, obviously it's going to be Dustin Hopkins because you're paying him the money and you'd like to get something for that.
So they're still going around. I want to go around the NFL a little bit with you here, Nathan, because you're very, very good with the league as well. You got Trey Hendrickson, who's still at an impasse. Shamar Stewart, who's obviously still at an impasse. Yeah. That's not as surprising as what some people would think. Does Joe Burrow have the right to be miffed about something like that when they've taken care of his wide receivers?
Yeah, because he's trying to, you know, win a Super Bowl, and Trey Hendrickson is a big part of that. And then they make the investment in Shamar Stewart with a first round pick. And it sounds like that's kind of a beef over how his bonus is going to be paid out, when it's going to be paid out. And these are things that as an organization, if you want to compete in the National Football League, that I think you need to get squared away. So I do think he has an opportunity to be miffed. And now they could say, look, we can't pay everybody, but you know, you want to make sure your first round pick that you make that investment is on playing for your team that season. And Trey Hendrickson is a guy who certainly, you know, coming off season where he led the league in sacks is somebody that you want out there as well. It's a very interesting study because, and it shows the difference in the styles of their football teams where owner's wealth is because they own the football team. And then there are football teams where the owners had wealth and bought the football team. And those teams operate very differently in terms of cash because those who came in with a lot of money are certainly more liquid and able to, you know, use cash spending to their advantage. The Browns certainly do that very, very well. They just haven't gotten the quarterback yet. But I think if, you know, you ever find a Joe Burrow type talent on a Jimmy Haslam and D Haslam owned football team, they're going to make sure that they have everything around them. And I think that's one of the differences in the NFL, which is why you saw some of that private equity money be able to come in. And I think the Bengals would be, from that standpoint, a very wise team to take some of that and have, you know, $500 million in cash that they would be able to use for things like this to make sure that, you know, these little, what I would call preventable headaches, go away.
I want to know, taunting, yes or no?
Absolutely.
My guy. I got to tell you, Nathan, I had so many people disagreeing with me on this yesterday. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, I think taunting, celebrations, fun, all of it. What, you know, I think, and I don't want to say casual fans, but as somebody, I'll spin it the other way. As somebody who gets to be in the building every day and gets to see what these guys do in terms of the work that they put in terms of the risks that they take with their body, in terms of the physical toll that this game takes on them and everything that goes into from time in the film room, from time in the gym, from time in the treatments, to all the things they have to do to get their bodies able to play on a Sunday, that they should be able to celebrate their successes how they see fit. Now, obviously, it can't be disrespectful and it can't be like violence-inducing and things like that, but if guys want to go out there and have fun, you remember Sean Merriman had lights out. You had people who had celebrations, the icky shuffle down there in Cincinnati. All of that stuff should be a part of the game. I think that these guys have earned the right to celebrate when they do something because so much goes into it, and yes, they're compensated very well. And my dad would right now, I could hear him screaming at me, act like you've been there, blah, blah, blah. I just think that this is, it should be fun. It is a game. It is a sport. And these guys risk so much and put so much on the line. Take our guy who we love, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. We don't know if he's ever going to play football again. In one instant, that changed for him. So while he's out there, he should be able to play with the joy and celebrate his accomplishments.
I love it. Nathan, we thank you so much for the time. All the best.
Thank you. And Daryl, I just want to say you did a great job covering everything with Brook Park and the state and the city and the county and all of that. And it's been
Daryl.
It's been awesome. And I'm glad that we're looking like we're going to be in Brook Park in 2029. Very exciting time, I think, for everybody in this region.
We'll see you in Brook Park, Nathan.
Daryl Wright.
That's right.
Outstanding. Yeah. Outstanding. Right. Nathan, thank you. Yes, sir. Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Happy birthday to you.
Check my ass out.
Happy birthday to you.
Am I stupid?
Happy birthday.
I'm thanking you, as Ken Carmen.
Happy birthday to you.
Come on. We got to have a cake.
Because apparently I'm the bad boy.
Who told you?
No one told me. I just know these things. I pay attention. I'm an observant producer.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ken, you know, we make such a big deal about birthdays on this show.
But it's always to bother the person whose birthday it is.
It's true.
Because none of us like to celebrate our birthdays.
We did this. That was, of course, Baby Izzy, who sent it in for her own father's birthday.
Yeah.
A mere 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And to think I was about to do 4 hours on Sunday paying tribute to the great Ken Carmen.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I had no idea. Hell.
I have it on my calendar.
I'll be dipped.
It's
well, my birthday's today. You thought it was the 29th, didn't you?
Yeah.
Boom. I keep them guessing. There's a few people who know. I didn't even put it on my social media and stuff like that. Actually, I think I had to do it on my one, but...
Send your birthday wishes to at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N.
Especially if you're in Oklahoma City.
Oh, they've been sending you some stuff?
Yeah. They've been wishing me happy birthday all week.
Oh, nice. Glad to see my fellow statesmen and women.
I was getting texts from guys from there, like I know from there. And I'm like, I didn't say, I'm sure it's a wonderful town with wonderful people.
I just want to know.
But my point is my point.
I just want to know what kind of morning show we're running here and we don't have a cake for Ken.
Well, that's Cookie Pie's job, and I don't know where Cookie Pie
is. I don't need a cookie pie.
Like
how it's not for you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's for you guys. Aw, man, damn it. Okay, fair point. Now, that's up to Mike to bring it in. And you know, Mike's, who knows?
Who knows where he is
right making now. Sandwiches in his basement or God knows what, whatever that guy's doing, a weirdo. Yeah, thank you very much. My dad called and left me a voicemail during the show.
What did he say?
He sings happy birthday to me.
Let's send it on over.
You want me to?
Yeah.
He might cuss. I don't know. He don't cuss as much as me with the mics off, but he likes to drop a word or two. All right, I'm going to send it over. I'm embarrassing. What the hell?
I'm changing your birth date in my phone now so I have the real day.
Don't change it. Just leave it how I was going to ask you on Sunday. Are you talking? You're with Nick on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Is he going to do that LeBron thing he keeps doing all week?
Probably.
Did you guys talk about that last Sunday? I didn't get a chance to hear you last Sunday.
We're going to get into it this week.
I'm like, damn, boy, he's really going for the gusto there with the whole bring LeBron home deal, man. I'm like, geez, we're going to have this conversation?
Well, we're through the draft, so now it's time.
It ain't happening.
It's time to spin her up.
But it's just not happening, so there's no point in having that conversation. And I know I said that in 2014, but
taunting
doesn't matter.
Not taunting. The tampering period starts on Monday.
Speaking of taunting.
The taunting period started at 6 a.m.
Oh, it says, go listen to this and see whether or not you agree to let me taunt you back. Nah, that's fine. We're grown men here. It's an entertainment business, is it not? Here's Cam Jordan at Fanatics Fest earlier this Monday talking about bringing back taunting.
What is the dumbest rule in the NFL today?
For the fans, I think it's the excessive celebration. Like, boy, if you don't let them celebrate,
please.
Like, they scored a touchdown. They dragged three defenders on their back. Let them. I got a sack off quarterback. Give me 5 seconds. Like, if that put the spotlight on me, I'm going to hit the levels. I'm going to hit one of these. In fact, kick him while he's down, and I'm going to go about my way. But, like, let us celebrate. It's okay to taunt. Like, bring back taunting.
I totally agree, and I don't know why. I've got a lot of pushback because of it, because I put it out there on social media. Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. And guys, the people who are anti-taunt, you're going to have to help me, because I can't see it through your eyes. I can't see it through your prism of non-common sense. I'm serious. Like, but, well, Ken, where does it stop? Are you going to let your kids taunt? I go, no. Well, they're going to see it on TV. I go, yeah, I saw a lot of things on TV when I was a kid. It didn't mean I went out and did it. I know that some kids watched Superman and jumped off the roof of a house. I feel bad about that. But I didn't watch Superman jump off a roof of the garage. I didn't do that. I did not. I watched the NFL. I grew up in the time. Owen grew up in the time of Brian Bosworth, for crying out loud. I grew up in the time of Deion Sanders. The movie The Program had just come out, and then in fourth grade, boom, it was time to play football. Guess what everybody did? We were all Latimer. Okay,
I had a seat at the table.
And while I'm the worst example, because I'm nuts and I don't have a soul, a lot of the kids around me grew up just fine. And their dads punished them if they acted like hot dogs or acted like jerks or any of the other stuff. But I look at it and go, guys, there's a lot of things that you have to understand as an entertainment business. I watch pro wrestling. I knew it was an entertainment business after I was 9 years old, after I was 7 years old, and The Undertaker came back to life after being choked out by Giant Gonzalez. I thought he was dead at WrestleMania 9. We learned these things. So I'm struggling to understand like the pushback I got, because I'm thinking, I'm his dad. If he goes out there and he acts like an idiot and he gets flagged for it, there's rules set up in the game to stop taunting of 10-year-olds playing football. There shouldn't be rules when it comes to taunting. Yes, I know it can lead to fights. Okay, then if it leads to fights, then you know that they're going to be fined very, very, very heavily for it, and there is going to be suspensions for it that you're going to lose game checks for it. Because I look at it and I say, this is supposed to be the highest level of football, but it's also supposed to be the highest entertaining level of football. And I got the Barry Sanders argument. If you don't want to taunt, don't taunt. You don't have to taunt. Nobody's saying you have to. If there's a player on the Browns defense who doesn't want to take part, if Mason Graham goes, I'm not a very good dancer, I'd rather not take a part. I don't want to be Michael Flatley here with Greg Newsome and the rest of the defense. That is perfectly fine for him to do so.
Sometimes the lack of taunt is the greatest taunt of all, right?
That's what they say.
If Barry Sanders continues to score on you, if Nick Chubb continues to score on
you
and just hand the football over, and you're like, damn it, do something, you know, show some emotion, and they don't, they won't give you the satisfaction of seeming that you at least were getting to them with the taunt.
I'm not going to yell down anybody. I seriously want to know from some folks.
That's my whole deal. I'm sitting here racking my brain of how do I play devil's advocate, because we know, and I've told you, we've talked about it in several things where it bleeds back into the kids' sports, and people go, well, my kid wouldn't do that. Well, not, you know, we don't always have great influence with our youth. It's not always the right people in charge of them and teaching them the proper things, right? Mm-hmm. I can only control what I can control in my own house. But at the end of the day, it's more than sports. It's entertainment. If I've paid X amount of dollars to go into a football game, or even if I'm paying for the cable package, I mean, it's built into your cable package or your streaming platform to watch most of these games, right? You're paying for this entertainment. And if it's adding a level of entertainment to the game, you might as well bring it back. Maybe you tell them, hey, each player gets one taunt or two taunts a game. And then after that, we got to flag them. Let's not act like they don't have, you know, $20 billion to go hire a guy that just watches for taunts.
That's the thing I don't understand, of why people can't make that delineation. there are rule. There should be rules in youth football and high school football and college football, even though they're getting paid. So maybe I should think differently about that. But I've said before, in amateur sports, you didn't earn that. This is entertainment. This is a money-making business. And part of the money-making business is that I'm supposed to believe there's good and evil. I'm supposed to believe that the Cleveland Browns hate the Pittsburgh Steelers because I'm a Browns fan and my buddy Andrew is a Steelers fan and we hate each other on Sunday when we're playing each other and we want what's worst for each other's team during Sunday. I've said it long ago. If I'm an owner, hey, man, you guys want to sit there and you guys want to go ahead and exchange jerseys? Exchange jerseys. I'd rather you not do it out on the field, and I really don't want you to do it out there on the field. You guys want to exchange jerseys? Go right on ahead. Because part of what the business is people being fans of the teams and wanting the teams to beat each other. Now, that is a ticky-tack thing with the jerseys, I'll understand. But it is still a part of the show. It is still a part of the presentation. And if I got a fan out there who's upset because my team just got whooped 30 to nothing, and I go out there and I look down at there, that takes away my intensity. And really, in a lot of ways, it starts to erode my propensity to want to spend money on the franchise that I like. If I go, man, I paid $600 for my family of three to come sit here in this seat, and we're doing this. Now, there is a different generation of fan who may not care about that. Okay, that's great. But I still want to be able to get everything from people's involvement emotionally that I possibly can. And I just don't understand how some people can't separate that. Like, kids are not infallible. They're not all precocious. It's not all the movie. And my kids are certainly not angels. They're human. It's up to me. Owen knows the story. I ended up having Axel apologize to a kid in some kid's driveway earlier this year because he acted like an ass. It's up to me to do that. And when it comes to sports, there's rules. The umpire is not going to let my son pimp home runs. He can't hit home runs right now, but he ain't going to let him pimp home runs.
Well, if it's written into the rules, too. So just for an example, right, we all know my extensive chain gang background.
Yes.
Doing the high school football, right? I don't know how many times in the couple of years I did it, I saw a referee send a wide receiver off the field because his knee pads were not covering his knee. Do they do that in the NFL? No, they don't.
No.
They don't care. It's
no.
Also entertainment. In high school, it's part of the rules. Those rules are different between each level. If it's written in the rules in middle school, high school, whatever, and they say no taunting, that's the rule. You don't need to have it in the pros to go, well, it's the example that you're setting.
I think we can all understand there's a clear delineation between the Cleveland Browns doing their own West Side Story after an interception and the Avon Lake Shoreman. I don't think that people would support the Avon Lake Shoreman performing Fiddler on the Roof after an interception.
I will say, I think that there are a few that would not object if the Browns secondary did not celebrate every completion like they just
won the Super
Bowl. Well,
you don't want to get a loaf, Daryl.
Well, there's also the thought of time and place.
Exactly.
If you're, hey, man.
If you're Browns, up, do it. But when you're down two touchdowns and there's an incompletion on the field, not the time to be breaking out the latest craze.
I'm flip-flopping. If you're down 14 and your team does a taunt, should be a penalty.
No, that's
put it in there.
But that is that not part
flag
of
flag for common sense?
Yes. I don't even know about that because I'm telling you right now, that's part of the conversation. How many people called in last year when things weren't going well and were mad at the Browns defense?
Oh, absolutely.
Assing off and dancing while they're down by 21.
And we had to ask Rodney McLeod about it.
Yeah. I had to sit there and have a really awkward conversation with Rodney McLeod saying, like, I got buddies cussing you guys out. I got listeners cussing you guys out because you guys are dancing and you're down by 20.
Well,
it was an awkward conversation, to say the least.
What was the game last year? They thought they returned a pick six and they were dancing in the end zone and it got called back.
Yeah.
While they were dancing in the end zone and posing for the photos and everything.
I think there should be time and place, but that's part of it. Because I'll tell you what, when things were going pretty well during the second half of 2023, I think we were all enjoying the dances in the end zone. I think we were all enjoying them all doing flash dance and Maniac and all the other stuff while they were doing it out there. I think we all enjoyed it.
You can dance when you're winning. You can't dance when you lose.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, if they're playing Aaron Rodgers here in Cleveland, and that defense puts together a hell of a performance, and they pick Aaron Rodgers off for like the third time that day, and they're rolling. Yeah, please, please dance. Please. I will want them to dance.
Myles Garrett.
And you will want them to dance.
Yeah, Myles Garrett, if you sack him for like the fourth time in the game, please put the headstone in the graveyard in the front yard.
But if the Avon Lake youth shoreman are putting it to the Brunswick Blue Devils, and you go up by 21, no, you're probably not going to be too good with that. Unless you're playing Streetsboro in the shoe, then you're going to want them to dance all you want.
You're going
to
get it again, brother.
I want quarterback he got, man. It wasn't even fair.
He's in middle school now. You're fine. Now you got to play my kid at quarterback.
Well, no, I'm not. Well, you know what? I'm not going to say nothing because it probably still won't even be fair. If he plays football like he plays baseball, it ain't going to be fair.
By the way, everyone you know, Ken, is updating their phone contacts right now. I got 3 messages from friends.
I'm glad people are listening because my phone's going crazy. I hope you're happy. I hope you're real happy. We got to have a cake.
How did that happen today?
What?
That is a massive failure of this show.
No, it's certainly not. We're good.
Of all the men that need cake on their birthday, it's this guy.
I had oatmeal cream pies before the show. That's how you start your morning, Nick Saban style. We're football guys, man. That's how you do it. Coffee and oatmeal cream pies.
Chocolate vanilla.
And Shooter McGavin just tweeted at me, happy birthday.
The Shooter
McGavin. Baby. Wow.
Shooter.
I tweeted him back. I said, thank you very much, Shooter. My dad just texted me, though. He wants me to meet him on the 9th green at 9. Told me to wear something nice. I don't know what that means. Find out tonight. He's not much of a golfer either, so I don't know what's going to happen. You said you're worried about Happy Gilmore, too. Why?
Sequels tend to disappoint, especially when there's been like a massive gap between the movies.
Remakes.
I'm gonna watch it. I'm looking forward to it, but I am preparing to be disappointed.
No, I see. I used to feel the same way you did. You do. I feel differently now because
like
I've seen so many
another Spaceballs movie. Why?
But I've seen so many remakes that are bad.
Yeah.
That I don't want to see. I don't care about sequels now. And especially, you know what? I used to be a big critic of Adam Sandler in like the mid, like right before like the station started, like then like as the station started because of like
you're
the Netflix movies.
You're talking post-Happy Gilmore, Madison.
Oh, God, yes, right, of course. I mean, because I'm sitting there going, man, you made these great movies. What are you doing? And then I realized it's like...
You get into the romantic comedy stuff.
But when I'm...
stuff.
Careful. I'm like, yeah, he's just assing off with his buddies now. And like I saw like Hubie Halloween... It's a little bit too long. Could have cut out a half hour of it, but I'm like, nah, it's cute. Fine.
Uncut Gems was really good.
Uncut Gems is amazing. You can't really rewatch it. It's only like a one-timer because it's so chaotic. That's an amazing movie. I loved Uncut Gems. Kevin Garnett's a much better actor than you think he'd be. What?
Except for them trying to convince me that he was still in the NBA.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's kind of past you now, Kev, but. I wouldn't say that to his face. So.
Hubie Halloween was great. I thought it was good. I'm looking forward to it. I don't think it can be bad.
I heard a podcast with Julie Bowen the other day, and she was talking about the amount. There were so many people in the movie that she didn't even get to meet all of the famous like guest stars.
The
that
cameos.
Are,
yes. Wow.
I am so... I'm a millennial. Millennials are the most nostalgic generation because they grew up with the most money. But you know, most well off,
most access to,
to all those things. And so if you're bringing the band back together, like, you know, I know Apollo ain't going to be there, but still, if you're bringing the band back together, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to enjoy this. I don't know where the story's going to go.
The Beverly Hills Cop one, that the Netflix movie they did, the Axel F or whatever, that was pretty good.
Yeah. See, I didn't even see that one.
It was fun. I mean, it wasn't as good as the original trilogy, but it was a fun movie. Yeah. It was nostalgic.
Yeah, I will be
Top
there.
Top Gun Maverick was really good.
I finally saw that. I tend to wait and let I like to let the dust settle because I want to really look forward to it. And I saw that, and I thought that was sensational.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
Now they're going to make another one.
Well, I want them to make a Days of Thunder 2.
They are making one. I thought.
Well, they're talking about it, and they like Jeff Gordon saying he wants to do it because you know it was Hendrick who gave him all the cars for the first movie, and of course that was a long time ago. You ain't got Don Simpson anymore. Go look up that biography. 216-474-0092. Liam and Clue. We're not doing coming in hot today, especially today of all days.
Oh, why is that, Ken?
And big thanks to Trent McGill as well, who sent me a nice happy birthday there. It's his birthday too. Happy birthday, Trent.
It's my sister's birthday today, too.
Happy birthday to Sissy. Liam, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Let me have
Happy birthday, Ken, to start off.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you.
I was on my way to work But if I wasn't on my way to work, I'd buy you a cake and bring it there.
Well, just buy yourself a cake and eat it.
Well, that is fair, but I wanted to get back to that Steelers and Browns part.
Yes, please.
If the Browns were versus the Steelers, I would think that if Aaron Rodgers and Myles Garrett were looking at each other, I think Myles Garrett should give him the most taunting face in the world.
Well, I don't know if Myles Garrett. I'll tell you this, Liam, and I got to get another thing in here that I kept teasing I was going to do, Liam. And thank you very much for the call, and thank you for the kind words. I saw a painting yesterday of the Myles Garrett. Somebody made a painting of Myles Garrett swinging the helmet at Mason Rudolph. I don't know. Just sack Aaron Rodgers and move on. The NFL is probably still a little bit tight about that whole thing. That's one thing that Myles probably should just do. Everybody else, they can dance, they can sing, they can waltz, they can conga if they want to, but I don't know if Myles should do any of that. But by the way, I had a lot of people chiming in yesterday, and now my phone's just, I hate you guys. Thank you very much. A lot of people chiming in yesterday because, you know, we kind of got to get our ducks in a row here, what the season would be, what the Browns would do. It's hard for me to say or to believe that it's a tank season. And hold on, let me tell you why. Because of some of the other moves that they've made and because of what's really at stake. And I know that he doesn't start the season on the hot seat, Kevin or Andrew, but we know that things change very quickly in the NFL. And I think they'd have to put their best foot forward. Problem is, and try to win football games. Problem is that with the other moves that they've made, with the lack that they have in other position groups and in some position groups, including, let's call it quarterback right now, there's just four question marks sitting there. And some have higher ceilings than the other. Can I say that this season's an all-in season? So I think for a lot of fans, you know, when they say, Ken, you're either growing or you're dying, it's hard for me to rip on you and say that that's silly or anything like that. I think that you're looking for a goal, and they're unclear about their goals right now. You sign Myles Garrett to the big extension. You keep Greg Newsom, okay? You have these folks that you've kept that would tell you that you try to win. Then they let go of Okoronkwo, and I have people saying, Ken, it's a tank year. You can't be surprised. I go, I'm not surprised by it. But when I say, hey, they really like Isaiah McGuire, why do they like Isaiah McGuire? Because he's shown a whole lot and he's young. Ah, Ken, youth. Well, where have they done the youth thing before? That's right, 2016 and 17. So the only thing we can do is go in a circular conversation about whether or not that they're in a tank year, because you want the season to stand for something. You're either going for it or you're not going for it. And with those two first-round picks next year, what's that tell you? They're planning for the future. So sometimes I get addicted to the argument myself. And I got to realize that, hey, there's things that they've done. It's not a defense of them. There's things that they've done that would tell you that they are not trying to win this year. That this year is not supposed to be about winning. That it's supposed to be about the future. It's supposed to be about investment. It's supposed to be about another year getting out of you-know-who's contract. Like, that's what a lot of that shows. But when they make some of the other moves that they've made, and some of the commitments that they've made to some of the older guys, and bring even talking Joel, and not talking him to coming back, but really wanting him to come back and him coming back, what do you stand for? Because you would go, well, let's let Zach Zinter play then, if Joel's going to retire and go through a three-win season. So there's so many things that they do that contradict the thing that they did before. I could sit there and I could give you all types of arguments about Isaiah McGuire, but you're not going to believe that until he actually goes out there and does it. Same thing for Alex Wright, who's been hurt over the first few years of his career. If I give you a bunch of arguments for what these guys are going to do, you're going to go, yeah, it sounds a lot like they're trying to see who they have for the future, not for what they have for the right now. That's an impossible argument for me to make against him. It makes it very, very difficult. So the whole tank conversation, it's not where you guys need to understand something. It's where I need to understand that half of you, at least, who believe that this is going to be a tank, half of you who believe that, hey, they really should be trying to win football games to save this entire theory of what they're trying to do as a football team, and they should do that. I have to respect those opinions. I have to respect a tanking opinion. I have to respect the one I want, which is that I want them to try to go out there and win so you can keep all these guys around, because you can't guarantee what's going to happen for the future there. And plus, I want those guys, those young quarterbacks, to earn their spot to play for this football team, not just be thrown out there because we just got to take a look at what they are, because I want the football team around them to play hard throughout all four quarters and actually have a chance to win. I want them to play for something instead of just, hey, we're just trying to have like an advanced practice in December.
They're trying to thread the needle.
And it's
between youth, getting younger, while also at the same time trying to win. Not easy to do.
Can you let me taunt you earlier, right?
Yeah, do I go? Do you want me to go this? I think you want to play something, but I got somebody here. Hello.
Kenny, what is up, my man?
It's a, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like Keith at all.
It wasn't him.
I want to call in and wish happy birthday to Ken's dog. Ken's dog is a wonderful father, a great friend, a multi-time Emmy Award-winning television personality, and kind of handsome guy. Also, Daryl is not dangerous. Owen is a good man. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a great 4th of July. Go Browns.
Thank you, Keith. It said Keith on Mackinac Island. I assumed it was Keith Britton. I'm sorry.
I had something to taunt you with. I got something, a bit of audio in over here.
Do you?
I wanted to taunt you, but...
finish it off.
It hit me in the heart really hard.
Oh, so. God. Have a wonderful Tall Boy Friday. Don't play it then.
Oh, I'm playing
Don't
it.
Play it.
It's for anyone that doesn't know, this is Big Kenny.
Oh, no,
I'm playing it.
No.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kenny. Happy birthday to you. Love you, kiddo. Enjoy your day.